Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight, back returning for return engagement, is Dale Minette. He's a photographer and an author, but he's also a musician. And I've always wanted to talk to you about being a musician even more than your photography, because you have such a long history for it. And we're here to talk about your music career. So welcome, Dale.
Well, thanks, Mark, and good to be here.
You handed me like literally a pile of CDs on which you're playing from like all these bands. Your first band, the Bristols, okay, was back in 1967.
Yes,
you played the drums.
Yeah. High school. It was the summer I graduated. The summer of love, 1967.
It was. I remember it well.
Yeah.
How did you gravitate towards the drums? Like, was that your first choice?
Yeah. I started in the fifth grade with
Your parents marching, must have loved
marching.
You. Oh, okay.
Well, one time, my younger brother, Scott, plays guitar.
Okay.
And at one time, there were two bands rehearsing in the basement of my folks' house. And
now, where is this?
In Athol. I grew up in Athol. And I had the best parents in the world.
You must have.
I mean, I would come home from school. I mean, when the Beatles hit, I was into the Ventures and Sandy Nelson.
Well, the fact that that the band was named the Bristols, it has that British name to it. And the sound sounds very much like British Invasion sound.
Well, they were from Gardner, Mark. And
yeah. Well, that's...
They were...
That's East.
They were British Invasion music. That's
yeah,
what they,
it was.
And I loved them. And their rhythm guitar player got drafted. And the drummer wanted out, so...
It sounds like the typical history of every band you've ever been in.
Yes. Yeah. So they decided that they'd put a keyboard player and a different drummer. So they came for myself and the keyboard player. And we had a high school garage band. And that was... The Bristols were right up my alley because they played Searchers and Beatles and...
And the sound of them is great. Like, when I was just playing with A Girl Like Her, that's I'd play that on my rock show now. I mean, that's like a great... That sounds like it fits right in with British Invasion.
Well, about 10 years ago, I got an email from a disc jockey in Northern England. And he called it Northern Soul. And he said he got a copy of it from a friend of his on a cassette in the States, and he had been playing it over there, and he'd been playing it out in the evenings, and he said people just wanted to know all about it.
So is there a reunion?
Well, he talked me into sending him over. I had four or five 45s of that version that we printed up, you know, and so I mailed it one, and you would have thought I had sent him a bag with $1 million.
Where'd you record it?
Stafford Springs,
in Connecticut.
In Connecticut, in an old theater that had taken all of the seats out, and the band set up on the stage. And in Springfield, there was a radio station, WHYN, and they were top 40. And when we were in there recording this on a Saturday afternoon, we wanted this, it was in the spring of 1967, and we had had this single that we wanted to record just to sell at our jobs, you know. But the disc jockey at that time, his name was Dick Booth. And he knew the owner of the studio, and he came
this
in.
This is a classic story, Dale.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought we were on our way.
It's like,
you know?
Wow.
19, right? You know,
it's like that thing you do, that movie.
It's exactly that, because he heard it. He heard the radio, the song, and he came up to us after, and he said, hey, he introduced himself and said, I'm going to put this on the radio, you know. He says,
I'm
not supposed to do it, but he says, I work from midnight to 5, and he says, I have a make it or break it, and he played it, and he got between 35 and 40, you know, thumbs up. So they helped us. They really liked the band.
So how long did they last?
The band. Actual band itself, until probably 1969, and then we morphed into another band, and it just, you know.
So you've been through the classic story of being the drummer in the band.
Oh, yeah.
When you hand, I just want to mention for the benefit of the audience, Blue Streak, great, great album. Okay, The Sidewinders, another one. Mark Nomad, who you're still recording
with.
Yeah,
in fact, I just... We just started working on his new CD last week. We laid down the first track.
And Boston Blackthorn, which is really a more of a traditional...
It's a Celtic band, Mark. I've been playing with those guys for close to 25 years.
Oh, my God.
And
a great sound, by the way.
Well, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like...
No egos in that band. And
but a lot of beer?
No, not really.
I'm disappointed.
Maybe at one time there was one or two beers brought up to the stage, but yeah, they and to this day I'm still amazed because it's John Leese and Jim O'Connor, the two leaders of the band, and they still pull Irish tunes out of their hat that I have never heard before.
And
they go that deep into the Irish music.
You've even recorded in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia.
Yes.
On Darren Brissett and the yep. Destination Bound band.
Yep.
So how would you describe, what are you most comfortable? I mean, you're one of these great musicians who is ready to step in and do your bit.
Well, that's what I like about it. I like it when people call me up and say, hey, our drummer's not able to play tonight. I know it's short notice. Could you come down and help us?
I find, you know, as a person who's not a musician, I find that amazing because every band has its own sensibility, has its own relationships, and you're recording a lot of different kinds of sounds here. So
it keeps me on my toes.
I was going to say, talk to me about it because I think that's an art. I think it's an art to be able to step in and suddenly play this kind of music, that kind of music, that kind of music. Do you rehearse for an hour or two with the band before you go on?
Sometimes I do, but a lot of times
I just
roll in. Like the Darren Brissett band up in Canada, the way that happened is they have connections up there that got them into the studio, which is a coincidence. I have friends up there, and I go up to visit them a couple times a year. And a friend of mine was playing guitar in that band, and he called me up and he said, "Oh, we're in a jam. We need a drummer. We've got songs all learnt, and we're going to record five songs." And for some reason, the drummer couldn't make it at the last minute. So when he told me that they were going to be up there, I said, "Well, I'm going to be up there at the same time." So I rehearsed with them, I think, twice. And then I met them up there. The drums were in the studio and everything up there. So I did the five tracks. It took me a whole day to do the five tracks. But I did it, and then I headed home. And they stayed up there the rest of the week to finish the five songs. And when they came back, they called me up, and they said, "Hey, the producer and the engineer really liked the band, and they think we should do a full album." So, and they were from Fitchburg, by the way, and Darren is still playing. But they asked me if I wanted to be in the band because they liked the feel and everything, and I had never done real country. They did some real original country stuff, and I said, "No, I'll do this." So we went back up. We call the album 10,000 Miles because it's 1,000 miles up and 1,000 miles back, and we did it five times, you know. So that was 10,000 miles.
Now, I got to ask you about when somebody asks you, do you want to be in the band? Okay, you're not a teenager anymore. I'm not going to give you out your age, okay? But that's like a major deal to have to be part of a band. It's like, well, it's a major commitment.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. The club scene.
It's not what it was.
No, it isn't. And now, I mean, playing live, the money just isn't there.
Every musician I know is in like five bands in order to try to make it as a musician.
If you want to make money, that's what you're
getting. And you're not making that much money.
No.
You're not. And the club scene, what happened to the club scene? Was it the changing of the drinking age to 21?
Well, that was the beginning of it. And then karaoke.
Are you kidding me?
And
that's bigger than going to see a live band.
Sometimes, I believe. A lot of people will do that. Or a disc jockeys, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, every musician's probably got a different take on it, but that's mine, you know.
And I also don't think people go out as much.
No, they don't.
And so the idea of seeing a live band is just not as exciting as it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's inside looking at their iPhone.
I mean, I still go see music all the time.
I know you do.
I saw the Outlaws a couple of weeks ago, and I got tickets to see Wishbone Ash, and I'm going to go see the Jethro Tull anniversary tour, and I still, in fact, when I was coming down here this afternoon, Mark, I don't know, and if your listeners will remember this, the comic strip in Worcester.
Oh, I remember the comic strip.
I mean, I saw the Yardbirds down there.
Yeah, that was, for people who don't know, for the history of Worcester, that was the club to have seen acts that were really, really huge in this crazy little...
For $3.
I know, in a little room. It was like amazing.
Oh, the Yardbirds, Eric Burdon and the Animals, Young Rascals. The list just goes on and on.
We don't have it. I mean, we used to have a number of clubs. Exit 13 used to do all the punk music, and I used to be down there. But Sir Morgan's Cove had the Stones play.
Gil Raines.
That still has bands all the time.
Well, the Blue Streak CD you have in the pile there with John Sheldon.
Yeah.
We played at Gil Raines quite a bit. And then I played in a band called Waylon Dave and the Blue Dogs. It was a blues kind of like a funky, like the Meters, that type of.
So when you send out your resume, is it like 20 pages long?
Well, I've never really set out my resume, but I'll tell you what I was going to do is I was going to make a list of it to bring down here.
Yeah.
But things happened and I didn't get time to do it.
Do you have any ballpark idea of how many different bands you've played in?
Oh, probably a good 20, 25. I mean, that's not including I can help you out for a week or...
Right, right.
You know.
Was there a dry period where you didn't get a lot of work?
It goes up and down.
It does.
You know, in the winter. I get to the point where in the winters now, I'm perfectly happy to sit home on a Saturday night instead of drive down to the Hungry Tiger and play from 10 to 2 and then get home back up where I live.
Dale, it's a rough life, man. I know, because the other side of your life is you're a natural history photographer who does an awful lot of work at Quabbin, and you're up before dawn.
Oh, yeah.
Out there hiking. That sort of late night rock life and the early morning getting up doesn't go along too well.
Not right now, it doesn't. But see, I'm retired, so... If I roll over in the morning and I think I'm going to sleep, and then I start thinking about, I know what's in the woods and I know what's happening. And then I think, well, I'm not going to go down and, you know, look at my camera and these pictures are automatically going to be there. So I roll out and off I go, and sometimes on 3 hours sleep.
Do you have to bring your drum kit to like different gigs?
Oh, yeah. I'm.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah, except with the Irish band, Blackthorn band. Sometimes I use just a snare drum and a boron. You know,
I want you to explain what that is.
A boron is what they call a frame drum. It looks like a
huge tambourine kind of a thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And there's a you have a beater that you play it in the front. The guy in the Chieftains for the Irish fans, he's just a monster. I've seen the Chieftains 3 or 4 times in live, and I'm always amazed at how that guy sits in the back there, and he just, with that little boron in his mouth, he drives that band, you know. It's just marvelous to see.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is longtime friend and has been down the station before, Dale Minette. He's a photographer and author, and you should plug your book.
Secret Lives of the Quabbin Watershed.
And there's going to be another book coming?
Another one, yes.
Which is going to be?
It's going to be called...
The Not-So-Secret Lives of the Quabbin Watershed.
Fur, Paws, Feathers, and Claws.
Cool. I thought it'd be like numerous pictures of you wrecking piles of stones along the edge of Quabbin.
No, not...
I do that.
That's the next volume. Well, so do I.
I know.
We've had that conversation.
Oh, man. But you've always been a musician ever since I've known you, and it's always been a real source of amazement to you. So I want you to talk about the different bands. Talk to me about Blue Streak. How long and when did you how'd you get into Blue Streak?
Blue Streak. I was playing with a gentleman named Joel Zoss. He's a songwriter. He's written songs. Bonnie Raitt has recorded some of his songs. And John was on the West Coast, and he was playing with Danny Kortchmar, who is a songwriter, and he hangs out with the Eagles, and He's a great guitar player. And they had just come off a tour with Linda Ronstadt. And we played at this little hole in the wall in Brattleboro, Vermont called the Mole's Eye. And I was playing with Joel, and he told me he had a friend coming in that was going to play guitar, and it was John Sheldon. And John came in, and he and I hit it off immediately. And his guitar playing was just phenomenal.
Now, as you wrote in your notes, he played with Van Morrison.
He was 17 years old when Van Morrison moved to Boston after he left them.
Right.
And the rest is history. But he was with them for a couple years. Yeah.
And he also song wrote for James Taylor?
He's good friends with James Taylor, yeah. Yep. Yep. He grew up with James Taylor. And in fact, John told me he taught James Taylor how to play guitar. So.
Okay, get back to your story.
Yeah. Well, John, he was, his friendship blew me away, and his guitar playing. And so we decided we were going to put a band. He said, I've got all these songs of my own, and he said, I've never had a band of my own, and now that I've moved back, they lived outside of Amherst, and we took the bass player that was playing with us that night, and the three of us guys, we worked and worked and worked, and we did all original songs, and John rented some equipment from some friends of his in Boston, and we set it up in John's horse barn, and we recorded that CD you have there called Blue Streak.
It's a great CD.
Well, we had a lot of record labels looking at us, and we got written up WRSI in Greenfield. They picked up on it, and they just played the living daylights out of it. And I was with them guys for almost 3 years, and John still plays. He amazes me. He just goes on and on and on and on.
When you're in a band like Blue Streak. Okay, and you're talking about they're playing all originals and stuff like that.
That's tough to do.
I'm no kidding. What about your input to the music, or do you just stay quiet and do what you're told? Like, in other words, do you ever go like, this isn't working out, we should be trying something different?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. And I learn right off the bat. Whether it's welcomed or whether I should just
be the drummer, sit behind.
And,
this is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
You sort of sense that out pretty fast about whether you're the disposable drummer, like out of, crank it to 11. Where
but these go to 11.
The drummer can always just blow up and disappear.
Yeah, yeah.
But is it important to you? Like, it must be painful to play something that you know is not working.
Well, like I said, it depends on the situation. You know, sometimes this is the leader of the band, and he wrote the song, and this is the way he wants
it. So you're just going to wail it and give it your best.
So I do it, yeah. But sometimes they'll turn around to me and say, well, what do you think? You know, you're the drummer. What do you think? And
can you be brutally honest?
Sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever dreamt about getting your own band together?
Too much work. I mean, booking, you know, and the posters and all sorts of stuff. It's just, I like my phone to ring.
And then you just step in.
And then I just roll in and, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Talk to me about Mark Nomad. Because that was a really interesting CD. Okay, I have Torch Tones
in
my hand.
He's done 10 or 11 CDs, and I'm on seven or eight of them.
What's his history?
He was from Hartford, Connecticut. He was in a band that were quite popular called Little Village back in the 70s. And he turned to the blues, and he's played all over the place playing blues. In fact, Bo Diddley gave him his name, I believe. And he hired me, and I've played with him for 25 years, close to. For a while there, we were playing, you know, day in and day out. I mean, we've played from Bangor, Maine to New York City, and we've done Boston, and there's we've been there and seen it all, you know. And he's still playing.
I remember the rock scene when I was a kid and when I was in college. Okay, and we were talking about this before. It seems to me part of the problem with a lot of the recordings now is radio is so narrowly focused that you can never get airplay. And does airplay even matter anymore in the age of the computer? Or, I mean, you would still like to get airplay.
Yeah, it's changed so much. And you hear, I mean, who thought vinyl would be making a comeback?
Not only vinyl.
You know.
Not only vinyl, my friend. Cassettes.
Right.
I can't believe that there are now cassette stores.
I mean, that's another thing. I collect records, Mark, and I've been collecting records since the 60s.
So you're one of those crazy people?
I still have the first record I bought, the Beach Boys in Concert, you know. And
are you one of those fanatics?
No.
Okay. You just have the record, you play it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I still go to record shows. I like going to record shows. But, I mean, I have a conscience about how much money I can spend on some of these things. You know, and some of them I look at and I just put back in the bin.
Yeah, I know that feeling because I have a minor record collection that I don't have a turntable at home. I just have the collection, okay? Yeah. And I don't want to touch them, and they're all preserved well. And yeah. And it's just like, I first of all, I loved records for so many reasons, not the least of which is I loved album covers. I still do.
Yeah, me too.
One of my great memories of growing up with records is looking at great album covers. I'm going to be talking about Band on the Run, one of the great album covers of all times, you know, mm-hmm. Hot Buttered Soul, another great album cover. I mean, we don't have that anymore. I mean, yeah. That whole visual aspect of when you bought the record and.
But I do have, I mean, some of the records that I bought, I've got stickers on them that say mono, $1.97, stereo, you know, $2.47.
I love it.
And the same record today.
Yeah, it would be huge.
You know, $34. Yeah, I know. I can't. And I'm amazed that vinyl is making a comeback.
It's made the comeback. It's already made the comeback.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're already into cassettes, which I think is crazy because cassettes never work.
But the Boston Blackthorn Band, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads.
And that's what I thought.
Off the internet. And it's. I mean, it's laughable how much money that the record companies, I mean, the...
When I listened to, I was listening to County Kerry to Kerry Park. It's a damn fine album, okay? Yeah. It's like one of these...
That's our second record.
It's an incredible album, but where's it going to get airplay? Does it matter?
Well, I got airplay up on Cape Breton Island.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Do you ever get airplay in Ireland or Scotland?
Not that I'm aware of, but like I said, I do know that the Bristols is getting airplay in the UK.
That's the weirdest story I've heard this week. That's like, I love that. I love the fact that I could go up there and then tune in the radio and there you might hear the Bristols. Is that the only thing the Bristols ever recorded?
No, we did a second one.
Which was? It was memorable.
I knew you were going to ask me.
Oh, my God.
I forgot the name of it now. It didn't do too good.
Was it?
I See Only You was the name of it.
Was it more ballad like, just like this one?
Oh, it was very ballady.
Okay.
Very slow ballad, you know, and it probably was a wrong choice for a second record.
Talk to me about the Reminders. The
Rewinders. A bunch of friends of mine, we got together, and it's almost like rockabilly.
Yeah.
Roland LaPierre does some of the singing, and my friend Tom Kovar does some of the singing. Tom wrote songs. Roland wrote songs.
So have you gone out playing to clubs as the Rewinders?
Oh, we played for 2 or 3 years, yeah. And
that must have been a wild scene. When I listen, there's certain records that I listen to, and I can imagine what it's like playing in a club. That's got to be a wild scene.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun band, but the jobs weren't paying.
Yeah.
You know, and we came to the point where we said, you know, why get $50 a man to play from 8, you know, to midnight. And so the bass player got a job to play with another band, and we just kind of fell apart, you know.
You know, well, that brings up an interesting point. When we grew up, and I'm older than you, but we were around the same age. Everybody, if you're anybody in high school, you wanted to be in a band. Does that still exist?
I cannot answer that.
I don't think it does anymore.
I know I've got a nephew that he's out of high school now, but he played drums in high school and he played guitar
in a band.
Yeah, and that and he still does it.
I just can't believe it's the at the same level that when we were there, when the British invasion was happening, and you really, it was sort of like there was a feeling of do it yourself, and you could be there and do it. You know, you listen to somebody like Paul Revere and the Raiders or whatever. Tommy yep. James and the Shondells was a high school band.
Yep.
And they recorded their first big hits as a high school band. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that happening anymore. And there's no place for you to play except where.
Yeah.
You know, it's like weird. What's your favorite gig of all time?
My favorite gig of all times
for you, it
would be the recording of this EP that I mentioned to you earlier with Jim McCartney.
Oh my God!
The Yardbirds and Hilton
go through
Valentine
that whole line. Yeah.
A friend of mine was working with the Yardbirds, and he was financing a recording session. Jim McCarty had a song that was given to them, the Yardbirds, in the 60s with For Your Love, and they never recorded it. It was a Graham Gouldman song.
And you recorded it?
And we recorded it in Trodnosa Studios in Connecticut.
The amazing thing is most of the people listening will not remember who the Yardbirds were and how colossal they were as a band.
Yeah.
It was one of the great British bands of the time period.
But it was a great session because he hired Hilton Valentine from Eric Burden and the Animals, John Hawken, who played the wicked piano.
Were you just in awe the entire time you were there?
I was. And the reason I got involved in it was because Jim McCarty wanted to rent my drum set.
We're going to have to wind it up.
Okay.
We could be shooting the blank about music all day.
The next time I see you with your binoculars on the side of a road up somewhere north, I'll pull over and we'll continue it.
Well, I think we're going to continue it back here because I want to hear, I'm really interested. We have more stuff we can talk about. My guest tonight has been photographer and author Dale Minette, but we've been talking about his long, and I think that your career as a musician is longer than your career as a photographer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And is just as interesting. Dale Minette, I would recommend picking up Blue Streak, but also any of the Boston Blackthorn albums is like you're guaranteed to have a great album. Yeah. Dale, thanks so much for your time.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you too. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night. Come out you black and tans, come and fight me like a man.